Tonight we are on page 72, chapter 11, AA World Services Incorporated, in the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual. To get us started, I will read the section titled Services on page 72. In order to provide effective services to the fellowship, there are 12 AA staff members, all of whom are AA members and each with a different service assignment. Many of the issues that staff members respond to are related to group matters or are traditions questions that are received from members. AA staff members help with group problems through extensive correspondence, emails, and telephone calls, with members sharing GSO's store of accumulated AA experience, archival information, AA literature, Box 459 articles, and other fellowship resources. All staff members have specific assignments, see below, and serve as support to both conference and trustee committees in their respective assignments. Most staff members also handle correspondence for a geographic area within the US and Canada. Every 2 years, staff rotate their assignments, much as a group's GSR and other trusted servants rotate. Staff assistants in the support services department produce correspondence, help create presentations, work with databases, offer on-site assistance at the conference and regional forums, and prepare minutes, reports, and copy for bulletins. The staff assistants work together with staff members on the different assignments. Unlike the staff positions, the staff assistants do not rotate, and they are not required to be AA members. They provide important continuity for each assignment and offer valuable support. Please send questions directly to Billy through the chat. He will be answering questions throughout this presentation as he sees fit. Billy, you'll have until 2 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is now yours.
Thanks, Brooke. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome, everyone. Just a little public service announcement. Next week, it looks like for work, I'll be in Mexico City on Monday night. So hopefully no problem, and I'll be here just like I would any other time. But I'll talk to the powers that be about having a backup just in case. Anyway, tonight we're on the chapter A, World Services, which is chapter 11 on page 72 of the service manual. And like I said last week, GSO is an often thrown around term that could have a million different meanings to different people because it's not a legal entity, GSO. It's not even a building. It's a place inside a building. For many years, we always talked about GSO on the 10th floor. Or the 11th floor, and AA Grapevine on the 10th floor. And the AA Grapevine office was the AA Grapevine office. And the general service office was the general service office. Over the last 15 years or so, we've kind of migrated away from that thinking that it's one general service office. The Grapevine is part of our general service structure. But you still will never see the Grapevine write a letter on GSO stationery. If you get GSO stationery, it's from the GSO side of the house, meaning the side of the house that reports to the general manager of GSO. This chapter is about AA World Services, Inc., which is one of the two operating companies, service companies, corporations that we have. Next week, we'll cover the AA Grapevine. We used to actually have a third operating company. We used to have a company in Canada. We closed that down in like 2007 or 8. We had that company only because there were some rules at the time about literature and shipping things over the border. And it was easier for us to have an operation there. But we don't have that anymore. And it really was just a company in paper only that was owned by AWS. But today AAWS is a standalone company. Its bylaws are in the service manual, so you can read its bylaws. AAWS has nine directors currently. And those are not directors of departments, those are corporate directors, directors on the board. And the AAWS board is made up of currently four trustees, three non-trustee directors, and two employees. The two employees are the general manager and the staff coordinator. The trustees, the four of them, currently two are regional and two are general service trustees. That's the way of the normal rotation. Every once in a while, we need to sub in somebody because something breaks in the rotation or someone is sick or something happens and we have a vacancy. The AWS board has to have at least four trustees as directors. That's what its bylaws say. And the directors are the directors that we talk about in Concept 8. How does the General Service Board oversee its custodial duty? By electing the directors, and those are the nine people that are on it. So who do the directors report to? Well, spiritually, they report to the trustees on the General Service Board. That's their spiritual boss, for sure. But who legally do the, it's a legal corporation, it's a 501c3 nonprofit. Who legally do the directors of this corporation report to? Well, it's the same 21 trustees, but just with a different name. They serve as the members of Alcoholics Anonymous World Services. In New York nonprofit law, we are a membership corporation, meaning we have not, we can have members. We have 21 members. If you're a super service geek to like the 110th power, right? If that's who you are, if like GSO is what Harry Potter Land at Universal Studios is to Harry Potter fans, this is something for you. There is only one place you will ever see mention of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous or the members of AA Grapevine, those 21 owners in their legal capacity. And that is at the General Service Board meeting after the conference. And the board adopts all of the actions of the conference. They actually take a break. They suspend the General Service Board meeting and they go into a meeting of the members of AA World Services, Inc. And when they're a meeting as the members of AA World Services, Inc., they elect those nine directors legally. They've already been elected spiritually by the conference, but legally they elect them. Then they close that meeting of AA World Services, Inc., and they open up a meeting of AA Grapevine, Inc. And then, in their capacity as the members of the Grapevine Corporation, they elect the directors of the Grapevine Corporation. Then they close that meeting and they reopen the meeting of the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous. That is just how we fit into the real world so that we can do business. But some people, you know, are like, well, where can I see that? Well, there are minutes every year of the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, Inc. and meetings of AA Grapevine, Inc., showing that they had their once a year required meeting and they elected their board. I served on the AA World Services Board for 8 years. I served 4 years as a non-trustee director from 2009 to 2013. And then when I became a general service trustee, as I've said before in the chapter that we've covered, general service trustees, they serve all 4 years. They're a trustee also on one of the corporate boards. So that means for 4 years, I was a trustee director. And 4 years I was a non-trustee director. That's where the term non-trustee director comes from. On the board, it's important to know that those nine people, as board members, have 99.99% the same rights as each other. They are equal voting members on issues before the board. Now, what is the like point whatever percent? There's a couple of things. Obviously, the general manager cannot vote on their own performance, his or her performance. Obviously, if there is an issue that involves the general manager or the staff coordinator, then they would be excused. The other place that they are not equal, and this is a change in nonprofit law in like 2015. In the beginning of the 21st century, there was a nonprofit in New York that had an employee as their president and chairperson. That nonprofit had some problems, and one of the governance issues that the state legislature dealt with is that a law was passed and amended so that employees in New York State are not allowed to serve as the chair of a board of a nonprofit that's registered in New York State. So it used to be, if you got an old service manual prior to like 2014, you would see that the general manager, like today, their legal title is president and chief executive officer of AA World Services, Inc. But back then, if the chair was unavailable or had to step aside, the president filled in for the chair. We had to change our bylaws to meet the new state law so that now on officers on AAWS, we have a vice chair besides a chair. It's interesting that that issue is the reason that I served 2 years as chair and not one. When that was changed, I was just coming into my last year on the board. I had already been chair once. And the new chair, Joe D, who had some health issues, asked me to serve as vice chair. And then he passed away a couple months later. So I became chair. If it was the old situation, the general manager would have served as the chairperson until we had a new rotation, but not the new way. The staff coordinator, I just want to explain that at AAWS as I go through some of the executives that serve there. There's two positions that often get confused: director of staff services and staff coordinator. Some of you might know the staff coordinator currently is Racy. The director of staff services is Sandra W. The director of staff services is not a rotating position. That is an executive level, senior management level job at the General Service Office. There are a bunch of department heads that report to the director of staff services. The staff coordinator is one of the GSO staff, what we call GSO staff, AA staff member. And that's a 2 year rotation like the other positions. So, because they're equal, the staff coordinator is not the boss of the other staff, but more the coordinator. It's a perfect title. The technical boss of the staff is the director of staff services and the general manager. The general manager only serves for 5 to 7 years. That's the agreement that is reached with the board when a new general manager is selected. We have a 7 year kind of maximum on that job position. And that comes from a conference discussion about never wanting anyone to become the permanent face of Alcoholics Anonymous. The staff services, the director of staff services, does not have that restriction. But again, they are more behind the scenes. They're not out in front at every regional forum and event like that. So I'm going to use some round numbers. I don't know the number as of today, but just think we have about 85, 90 employees, most of them full time, a few part time. Let me go to one issue. And since I'm talking to, I think, 38 people who are AA members, please do not get insulted. I feel like I'm talking at a conference and I have to give a disclaimer about Al-Anon members, right? We always get asked, why don't we have volunteers at GSO? Could you imagine what a disaster that would be? Just think for a second. If we had to select who gets to be a volunteer at GSO, and then just think about this. You know how much some of us love power. Imagine the person who gets sworn in and deputized as a volunteer. Imagine them out at meetings for the next couple of weeks, what they'll be telling everybody. All the rules, all the guidelines, all the things they're in charge of. I mean, we know our people, myself included, we can't help ourselves. So not having volunteers at the office has been a long policy that has kept us just out of a lot of trouble. One of the things, if you ever go to visit your office, if you get and you see what I said, your office, you will be welcome to your office. They will never say our office. It's just not vocabulary that we use. It's not our office, it's your office. The general man. So let's just talk about the staff assignments for a second. Accessibilities and remote communities, conference, cooperation with the professional community, treatment, corrections, group services, international convention, literature, nominating, policy and public information, and regional forums and staff coordinator. Those are the different staff positions. So let's kind of clear this up a little bit. I just read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 staff positions. Now, this is a year where we kind of switched to 13 for a little while. Because in the year and a half preceding the international convention, that becomes a single job. So for like year 1, 2, and 3 before an international convention, it's part of the regional forum's job. But in the 2 years leading up to the international convention, because of how much immense work it is, that's that staff member's only job. And usually one of the senior staff people have it. Of those 12 positions, those are unique. There's a term, I don't particularly like it, but it's old school for sure. Some of the other staff will use it sometimes. And that staff with a capital S. Staff with a capital S would mean one of the AA service desks, one of the AA staff positions. So I already counted the general manager, and I already counted the director of staff services. Now we have 12 alcoholics. We're up to 14. The director of AA Publishing, the publications director, has to be an alcoholic member. Now we're up to 15. So let's even just take 85 minus 15. There's 70 other employees. So who are those employees? Well, I don't want to say they're non-alcoholic because that's none of my business, right? They're just an employee. They could be a sober alcoholic, a drunk alcoholic. They could be whatever they want to be. The difference between them and being a staff member is you don't have to be a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous to have one of those other jobs. And I've been asked this question before, and of course the answer is yes. Has one of those other positions where you don't need to be a sober alcoholic, does GSO have employees that have problems? Of course they do. It's a company like any other company. The GSO Employee Handbook has an employee assistance section. We're an employer. We live up to the obligations and the legal obligations of being an employer in the state of New York and in the United States of America. We do have some other management positions, though. We have the chief financial officer. Very important job, working with the boards, running the department that pays our bills, accounts payable, running accounts receivable, which we have two of them. We have literature accounts receivable to AAWS, and we have contributions accounts receivable that go to the General Service Board first. Like any office or department, he has to supervise some employees and has a controller that works for him. Then we have the publishing director, and the publishing director deals with everything that is publishing, which is a big part of what AA World Services does. We have a technology director because it's 2024. And by the way, we were late to this party. We thought for a long time, up till 2016, we could do this with an outsourced part-time IT director. If any of you are familiar with the transition of our old accounting or our old ERP system to the new ERP system and the challenges we had with that, you're very aware of why now today we have a full-time IT director that's our employee. We also have inside the publishing department other senior managers, like the people in charge of inventory and ordering and making sure that we have enough of what we need to sell. Inside what was read, we also have the staff assistants. Now, this is an interesting thing. The staff assistants. Think back, if you were alive, if you're not, okay, but think back to like 1995, even 2000. Most communications that came to GSR were, I mean, to GSO were a letter, a good old-fashioned letter. A lot of them mailed, not even sent as an attachment. I'm not even sure if a 70-year-old in 1995 would even know how to attach a letter to an email, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I was there. But just think about what it meant to be a staff member back then. Every letter that came in, you dictated a letter, dictated, good old-fashioned dictated a letter back to them, and your staff assistant typed it. Now, thank God, because alcoholics are super into immediate gratification and sometimes lazy. Writing a letter required effort. It required writing a letter, putting it in an envelope, putting a stamp on it, and getting it to a mailbox. That's a lot of work for an alcoholic, as we all know, which probably regulated the amount of mail that came into GSO. And then what happened? The fantasy of every immediate gratification letter writer, email. Email came out. And now you could send a letter to GSO in an email. When you think about when I was chair of AWS, it was already over like 8,000 a year, like emails. I mean, the amount of emails that come in to every staff member are just unbelievable. And I really want to get that point across. And I would say it to anybody. I served on the board for 8 years. Have I had my disagreements when I was a delegate or a board member with a staff member over something? Of course. But don't let that get in the way of me being in awe of the amount of work that is done at that office or how many of those employees are there on a Sunday night. Let me just bring another shocking fact to you. If we use St. Patrick's Day 2017, 2020, as like the first day of lockdown, Unlike most other companies that got rid of desktops and just got every employee a laptop with a docking station, well, when you have a part-time IT director and you don't have a full-time IT department, no. When COVID struck, we had 10 laptops. 10. So when you only have 10 laptops, that meant that employees would come in the office on Friday nights, stay late, come in on Sundays. I can't stress enough how hard our employees work for us every day. GSO also has to deal with the newsletters that go out. If you look on page 76 of your book, you know it's, you have box 459. You have About AA, which is, designed towards professionals. You have Loaners International Meeting, LIM. That's still a bi-monthly newsletter that used to go out in the good old-fashioned mail and now goes out a lot in email. You have the quarterly report of each General Service Board weekend that goes out. That's the one that kind of looks like a church bulletin almost. It like folds like a church bulletin. You have Sharing Behind the Walls, which is put out by the corrections desk. And if you want to talk about a desk that deals with a lot of letters, good old-fashioned letters, in 2016, I did a presentation to the conference, and one of the pictures I put up there was good old-fashioned pen-to-paper letters from inmates to GSO. Now, that was before most correctional facilities switched to digital transmissions themselves. But just the amount of letters that come in is incredible. You have the archives department, which is part of GSO. The archivist, who is not an alcoholic, does not need to be an alcoholic. There have been some alcoholic archivists, but you don't need to be an archivist to be an alcoholic. There was a change made in 1997, I want to say, no, earlier. Like 95-ish, where instead of just being an AA member who liked history, we decided to hire a professional archivist, that that's who should run our archives department. Somebody from like a university or museum or library kind of system who was a professional archivist. And since then, we have had three professional archivists. We had Judith. She's going to kill me for forgetting her name now. The one after Judith. And then we, of course, have Michelle today. And the archives department has other archivists that work for the archivist and has a staff assistant or two. And they get close to 2,000 requests a year from AA members with some AA history question or information about their group or their area or their town. And then the archives department also interacts with, I don't want to call them professional people, but let's just call them historians and writers and authors and researchers who really want to dig into a particular part of our history. So they will usually write for permission. And then the archives department has to put together all those files and set them up in a room for the person to come in because you're not allowed to take pictures of them. You can take notes. But so the archives department is super, super busy. Then we have the intellectual property side of AA World Services, our copyright and our trademarks, which there's some interesting news on that, right? Because now, for the first Monday night ever, you can go to alcoholicsanonymous.com and you will be redirected to AA.org, thank God. And we own many domain names. We've bought them up, got them over the years. Anything that's kind of closely associated with GSO or AA or Alcoholics Anonymous. But our trademark and copyrights, we have so many books, so many pieces of literature. We no longer have the trade. Well, we have the trademark on the circle and triangle. We just don't enforce it anymore. We have the blue people, though. A public service announcement: if your district or your area is using the blue people, please tell them not to. There's a guideline out there. Only General Service Board, AAWS, General Service Office, the AA Grapevine Office, or the AA Grapevine Board are permitted to use the blue people. But keeping track of our intellectual property is a major part of the General Service Office. Tours every Friday. There's a meeting at the General Service Office at 11 a.m. That's an AA meeting. It's usually in the conference room where AAWS meets in the General Service Office. But sometimes groups from the dr in driving distance from like Maryland to upstate New York and Massachusetts will take a bus trip. And on those days, they move it downstairs to the bigger conference room on the first floor. But many people come to the new come to that meeting. It's kind of like it's almost like a destination, almost like a pilgrimage. I hate to use that word in relation to AA. But for some people, if they come to New York, they want to go to the General Service Office. And they want to go to the 11 o'clock meeting on Friday. You can get tours any day there. If you go to the AA.org website and you type in the search bar tour, an email address will come up where you can send an email to the staff assistant who coordinates tours. I've never met anyone that isn't blown away by that tour of the General Service Office. You know, most people compare it to like their local central office or inner group, and those are usually small, a couple of offices. The General Service Office looks like a real corporation, except when you get off the elevator, the Serenity Prayer is in like 30 different languages on the wall, you know? I want to talk for a second about how we handle rotation amongst the staff. AA staff members. There's a couple of reasons we have rotation. Number one, we don't, just like we don't want the general manager becoming the king of or queen of AA, we don't want any staff member becoming the corrections guy, you know? The other thing is we want everybody to have multiple experience so that when someone is out, they can fill in. And also that by the time someone becomes a staff coordinator, they've usually held every position or maybe 8 out of the 12 of them. But when we rotate, just so you know, when we rotate staff positions, now we all know in 2024, we don't have to move a phone to move a phone number. We could just program it. But we make each person move offices. If you're in the literature assignment right now and your next assignment is public information, you pack up all your stuff and you move over to the office that handles public information. That's how seriously we take rotation. We have a human resources department, of course. We have 90 employees. We have employees that need retirement planning. We have employees that need medical insurance and dental insurance. We have employees that might need an FMLA leave, a Federal Medical Leave Act leave. We have employees that might need short-term or long-term disability. You know, sometimes it breaks my heart when I hear somebody get up to a microphone at a regional forum demanding to know what people make. I mean, imagine we asked every person who registered for a regional forum what you make a year. It just, you get to see the financials, you know the salaries, but why should you get to know what any individual makes a year? It's, or also, you know, when I hear people talk about not wanting to pay people fairly, I assure you, based on where they live, They do not get paid an exorbitant amount of money. Nobody. Most times, even the general manager, people who complain about how much the general manager makes, most of the time, when I look at in the when I used to be on the compensation committee, if I look at a similar sized nonprofit with similar amount of employees, our general manager is in the middle or at the bottom of the scale. And we have to provide our employees great benefits. I mean, at the end of the day, this is our office. If we don't provide what another similar sized organization would provide, who's going to want to work for us? And at the end of the day, we want good people to work for us, and we should want to feel good about ourselves that we take care of our people. Mail and shipping, some people don't realize this, but it's part of AA World Services. We have two warehouses, one in the middle of the United States and one in Canada. So when you order 100 big books, there's not someone at the general service office who's like putting together your box. It's coming from our warehouse and our shipping facility there. We have a mailing office at the general service office, like any department, like any organization that deals with regular mail going out each day, and coming in. But remember, because of the digital age, it's much less than it used to be. Let's see. Contributions take a lot of time, especially the ones that come in an envelope. More people are contributing electronically, and as a result of that, the cost of processing contributions is going down. But if you were to go back like 10 years ago, it would be very common to see a number like $800,000 or $900,000 to process all our contributions. And that would enrage some people. But they just don't understand who we are as an organization. I have literally seen this with my own eyes. An envelope with a paper clip that had, so somebody already opened up the envelope in the contributions department. There was an index card paper clipped to the envelope that was inside the envelope. And there was a piece of tape across three quarters. Now, one might say 75 cents, we lose money on processing that. It cost us more money to open it, log it in the system, deposit it in the bank, send a thank you note to the person who sent it. But that's who we are. We're an organization that has never been concerned with the amount of the contribution, but rather concerned with the spiritual act of giving. So yes, more contributions are coming in electronically. And a couple of years ago, we actually changed our address for contributions so that now they go right to a bank facility. And people ask me questions, how do they know it's coming from AA members? Well, usually AA members give themselves away in something they write, or how they write it, or what they say in their letter. We really don't have a problem of people beating down the door trying to give money to AA that are not in AA. I know some people want to think that that conspiracy is out there, but I assure you, when I was treasurer of AA World Services, there's no line of people that are banging down the door to give money to us that are non-alcoholic. Do we get the occasional letter from somebody whose dad or son or somebody got sober and they want to thank AA? Yes. And we write a nice letter back returning the money. We sometimes get a letter, especially from a lawyer, with a check from somebody's estate that's over $10,000. Yes, we do. And we have to send it back and explain to them who we are and what we do and why we do it. But those are all things that, we should be immensely proud of, not, the other thing I want to talk about is employment. I hope that someone that's sitting here maybe is thinking about, wow, someday I'd like to work at GSO. You could send an email to HR and see if there are any open positions. The AA staff member positions are posted in box 459, and the delegates are alerted to them. The publications director, director of staff services, CFO. But like I say, when I talk to any audience about somebody's going to be a trustee or somebody's going to be a delegate, somebody here is probably going to work at the General Service Office or at the AA Grapevine. And that's incredible. I hope that anyone who has interest in that, would think about it. I can't talk about AAWS without talking about our location being New York City. Some of you might know this year or last year, there was a committee called Location Plus looking at our office and where should it be? Should it be in another part of the country? It's important to understand where the General Service Office of the United States and Canada, not just the United States, our structure is for two countries. We are in the Inner Church building, which is owned by a nonprofit. We pay very, very low rent there because we are a nonprofit as well. That building rents and specializes in renting to nonprofits. This time they decided not to move because we used a lot of money out of the reserve fund for COVID. And it's going to cost a couple of million dollars if we were to relocate. I'm sure a lot of employees wouldn't go. All I would say is before you make any snap judgments, I hear these snap judgments all the time. Try to get some information before you harshly judge, the 90 or so people who every day, Monday to Friday, are going to work, keeping our organization together and one last thing I wanted to say. Hold on, I just got to find my note. I just want to go back to the publishing for a second. Everything the conference approves goes to the publishing department. And then the publishing department puts together the final product and usually passes it off to a trustees committee if it came from a trustees committee first, or passes it on to AA World Services. A lot of times you'll go to an AA World Services meeting and there'll be a new piece of literature on the board table showing something that was recently produced. The publishing operation is a monster operation. With editors and translators, and outside third-party consultant authors and writers who, you just have to look. I mean, let's just look at the General Service Conference agenda for the Literature Committee this year. We all know how long that was. The Literature Committee agenda is so long, they had to create equitable distribution of work because there was too many things on the Literature Committee agenda. Well, everything that the conference approves then has to go to the publications department. So there's such an immense amount of work that happens. Okay, I have a few questions here. Does the Director of Staff Services vote at conference? So what usually happens, I've seen sometimes yes, sometimes no, by the way. They have to keep the percentages in line between delegates, area delegates, and everyone else. Sometimes there'll be two new staff members who are there less than 6 months and they don't get a vote at the conference, We usually ask staff to be there over 6 months before they vote at the conference. Then the director of staff services might vote, but I have seen it both ways. We just make sure that we keep the percentage of, we're usually around 69, 70% of area delegates to everyone else, but we don't want to ever be down below 2/3. Let's see. This is almost like a phone call that I get when I shudder when I hear these words. I heard this weekend. That is a danger sign. Whenever I hear somebody say that. So I heard this weekend that groups shouldn't send contributions to New York because they heard. So now two people heard, right? Not even the original. I heard this weekend that groups shouldn't send contributions to New York because they heard that the office workers got rewarded and went to an amusement park. Oh my God, are we kidding here? How do they get information, or am I seeing personality before principles? Do we have members who have resentments towards GSO staff and are being punitive? Okay, I'm not going to judge them about punitive, but let's carefully dissect that question. Let's just remove the end of it. Do we have members who have resentments? We don't even need to finish the rest of that sentence, right? Yes. Yes, we have members who have resentments. Now, last year, yes, the general manager one day had the employees go to amusement park. I don't know what the exact cost is. I could find it out quickly, but I will say this. As someone who runs a business like I do, you can't take care of your customers if you don't take care of your employees. It's impossible. If your employees are not taken care of, they are not going to take care of your customers the way you want. It's just not going to happen. Employee morale is super, super important. And I would ask this person, whoever you run into, think about that last year, 2023. Employees working from home for a year or two, people forgetting what it's like. I'm just talking about my work experience. People forgetting what it's like to work as a team. People forgetting what it's like to be respectful because it's not just my refrigerator that I can throw shit wherever I want it. Like, I'm in an office where I have to be a team player. Or how about the employees that are stuck at home on a laptop all day? I would think that after COVID came to an end, and people started to come back into the office more, getting employee morale back to a great level is a total goal of the general manager. And I am a conservative financial hawk, was when I was on the board. But I will tell you, if we're looking for places to save money, it is not an amusement park trip or a holiday party for our employees. Okay? It's just not. And I don't think that's a reason to stop sending money. I would respect any group that wants to exercise the power of the purse. But I would hope it would not be to punish our employees. Let's see. Let me just read this before I get to this question. Somebody just wrote page 75. States three warehouses. Yeah, I'm not going to debate the number of warehouses. There's one in Kansas City. It's a major warehouse. There's one in Canada. If there is one somewhere else that they're using now, they could be. But the point of the matter is, it's not, the New York City office is not considered a warehouse. Okay, people can send in more questions. We have time for a couple more. If you didn't know, I'll fill it in with this, that yesterday was the 86th anniversary of our first General Service Board meeting. Before it was even called the General Service Board, it was called the Alcoholic Foundation. That was in August 11th, 1938, or 39, sorry. That was a 5-member board of trustees. Three were non-alcoholic, two were alcoholic. At what point in time was the board run strictly by non-alcoholic? Well, strictly, if that means only, never. But the first board had five members, three non-alcoholic, two alcoholic. Only in 1966 did the board change to predominantly alcoholic versus non-alcoholic. Could you speak to the difference between AA commitments and the service in our three legacies? I'm not sure what that position. Could you clarify that question, please? Thanks. Does a Friday meeting at GSO have a name? You know, that would be an awesome trivia question at some crazy late night AA convention. It does, and it's escaping me right now, but I'll make sure I have it for next week. I'm just waiting for clarity on the difference between AA commitments and service in our three legacies. Is it the difference between AA paid positions? Is that what you're getting at there? I'm just trying to make sure I answer it correctly. Oh, I got it. Some members feel service is coffee making, and that third legacy, yet I was taught, was a commitment. 36 by 36, 18 something. So, Bill W. described service in the legacy of service as anything that helps get the message to a still suffering alcoholic, right? So general service is not the service side of the triangle. General service is just a piece of the service side of the triangle. I would say that a commitment at a coffee maker is the same as a commitment for a GSR. Sometimes I think we get into like these like code words when we're traveling. Are you in service? Meaning, are you in general service? We would hope that everyone is in some type of service. But what that service is for the individual. So someone just asked a question, 36 by 36, 18 something. Can you clarify what that means? I don't know, understand what that question means. The person who asked a question that says 36 by 36 question mark 18 something. Can you clarify what that means? Maybe the 1728 meeting. The 1728 meeting is for the General Service Board. Sometimes at the staff, that's 12 times 12 times 12, originally designed to help Class A trustees learn about the steps, traditions, and concepts, and now they also do it at the office for employees. That is not the name of the Friday meeting. The Friday meeting at GSO is not, so let me set expectations level. If you're looking to go to that meeting for like the ultimate service geek meeting, that's not it. It's as regular an AA recovery meeting as you will ever go to, with people who walk in off the street to wanting to go to that meeting sometimes, people from all over. Yes, people will in their share talk about that maybe they were involved in service where they live and they couldn't wait to come to GSO, but it is a regular meeting. Let's see. Let's see. The GSR pamphlet suggests that the GSR be the most responsible member of the group. If so, how can a coffee maker have the same, God, I cannot believe it uses this word, for lack of a better status as a GSR? Yeah, I'm not going to argue about coffee maker versus GSR, but I do believe that is the big problem in AA service today. Most of it because we elect the GSR towards the bottom of the elections. Like we go through every other position first. Before I did this, like 3 months ago, I did the original service manual. The people who were GSRs when this structure was created were the most veteran members of the groups with the most experience. And that is not what we see happening today sometimes in some places. So that's it. We'll be back next week for the Grapevine. Brooke, I'm turning it back over to you.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.